The Melba Story. The story of Australia's most famous woman. The true story, fully authenticated, and featuring another wonderful Australian singer, Glenda Raymond. The Melba Story. It's the year 1889, and Melba has just made her triumphant return to London, where she was rapidly becoming a popular favorite, not only as a prima donna, but also as a social figure. After her brilliant debut as Juliet on June the 15th, a state concert is arranged at Buckingham Palace for the 28th, and Melba is commanded to appear by Queen Victoria and by His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales. But on the very day of the concert, Melba finds herself in the hands of her medical attendant, Dr. Seaman.
How long have you had this condition, madam?
I felt my throat a little sore yesterday, but I wasn't worried about it. I just gargled a few times and the soreness seemed to pass off. I sang at Covent Garden last night and felt no discomfort at all. But when I woke this morning, I could hardly speak.
You should have sent for me yesterday.
I didn't think it was worthwhile.
You, a singer, a very great singer, thought it was not worthwhile to look after your throat.
Oh, well, I never have any trouble with my throat, Doctor.
You sang last night, you say?
Yes, and my friends told me I was never in better voice.
Perhaps so. But you should have rested your voice instead of straining your vocal cords so lamentably.
But I felt no strain whatever.
Nevertheless, the strain was there. Now, open your mouth as widely as possible, please.
Oh, it hurts.
Keep like that, please.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yes, yes, I know, but it won't inconvenience you very much longer. Just put your head back a little. That's it. Yes, I see.
Oh, can I close my mouth now?
Yes.
Oh, that's better.
You have the most remarkable throat, Madam Melba.
Have I? Why?
The secret of an unimpaired singing voice is the amount of elasticity in the ligamentous portion of the vocal cords. Yours is the most elastic I've ever seen. You make use of the anterior portion of the cord, which is most unusual.
Well, what's wrong with it now?
You're suffering from acute laryngitis.
Is that serious?
It could be.
Doctor, you don't mean my voice could be permanently affected?
Fortunately, there seems to have been no real damage caused by last night's foolishness. Most of the inflammation is in the extrinsic muscles.
I'm sure that must be very interesting, but it doesn't mean a thing to me. What's the cure? I suppose you're going to give me some nasty medicine.
Yes, the nastiest medicine you could possibly imagine. I'm going to order you a complete vocal rest.
What?
You'll stay in bed and do no singing for at least 3 days.
But Dr. Seaman...
And very little talking, either.
But you don't understand, Doctor... I'm singing at Buckingham Palace tonight.
Impossible.
But it's a royal command.
My dear girl...
And the Prince of Wales is travelling all the way from Scotland specially to hear me.
I'm sure neither Her Majesty nor His Royal Highness would expect you to jeopardise your future by disobeying your doctor's orders.
Well, I hope they understand. Will I be well enough to sing on Thursday night?
I hope so. Yes, I think you will. What happens on that particular night? Something special?
Yes, a reception at Lady de Grey's place in Bruton Street. And the Prince of Wales has promised to be there. I'll be able to apologize to him for missing tonight's concert.
Good voice tonight, Nelly.
Yes, Gladys, I think so. My throat seems to be quite normal again.
Then will you sing for my guests now?
Very well. But I had hoped you'd wait for the prince to arrive.
He's late. He may not come at all.
Oh,
How disappointing.
In the meantime...
His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales.
He's arrived, Gladys. He's
signaling me to go on with the musical program. Are you ready, my dear?
Oh, yes, I'm quite ready now.
Good. I shall announce your item.
Your Royal Highness, ladies and gentlemen, Madam Melba is going to favor us with that delightful song, The Lass with the Delicate Air. Oh.
Enchanting, Nelly. Your voice is better than ever.
I wonder what His Royal Highness thought of it.
We'll soon know. He's coming over.
He looks rather stern.
Yes, he does, rather.
My apologies, Gladys, for being so late. I was unavoidably delayed.
We're glad to see Your Royal Highness at any time, aren't we, Nelly?
Oh, yes, of course.
Excuse me, Gladys. There's Charles Beresford over there. I particularly want to have a word with him.
Nelly, what's wrong? Wrong. The prince cut you dead.
Have you offended him in some way?
No. I've done nothing. I think I'll go home.
I don't often see you so early in the morning, Nelly. In fact, I don't often see anyone at this unearthly hour. Why, it can't be 11 o'clock yet.
No, Gladys, it isn't. But I had to see you. I had to find out why the prince cut me.
Have you no idea at all?
No, of course not. Have you?
I made a few discreet inquiries. And I learned that the prince was very displeased over your failure to appear at Buckingham Palace a few nights ago.
But I was ill. I was in bed.
Rumor has it that you were enjoying yourself on the Thames that night.
On the Thames? Oh, no, Gladys, that isn't true.
Can you prove it?
Of course I can. Dr. Seaman was attending me and absolutely forbade me to sing that night. He'll give me a certificate to prove it's the truth.
All right, my dear. Get the certificate.
Do you mean that? Of course I do. And then?
I'll see if I can arrange an audience for you with the prince.
But a private audience is always so difficult to get, even when the person concerned is in good favor. What chance have I got?
I don't know, Nelly, but I shall do my best.
And if you're not successful, what then?
We'd better not think about that, my dear.
You mean it would be the end of my career?
If the prince refuses to see you, Nelly, you might just as well start packing, because London will be practically closed to you.
In just a moment, we'll return to the Melba story. The Melba Story.
You mean to tell me, Gladys, that this slander could ruin me?
Yes, Nelly, I'm afraid it could. London is very loyal to the prince. He's a popular figure, and people would resent any slur against him.
Yes, but...
And to refuse his invitation to the palace just for the sake of a pleasure trip on the Thames.
Do you think I could possibly offer such an insult to the royal family?
It doesn't matter what I think, my dear. The point is that rumors are going around, and undoubtedly the prince has heard them.
But who could have said a thing like that?
You're a successful woman, Nelly. You have friends in high places. And you know what that means, don't you?
What?
That you also have enemies in high places.
You're suggesting that these rumors were started deliberately?
Is that so difficult to believe?
Yes, it is.
You didn't realize that people were jealous of your success?
Oh, I'd heard talk of such things. There have even been suggestions that somebody might try to burn down Covent Garden. But that's only some poor, crazy creature with an imagined grudge against me. It's very different from this diabolical conspiracy.
The only difference is that this grudge is not an imaginary one. Someone is obviously trying to displace you.
I must see the prince. I must.
Get that doctor's certificate, Nelly, and I shall move heaven and earth to get you an audience.
Gladys, what news?
It's all right. I fixed it, Nelly.
Oh.
You're to see the prince at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Where?
At Marlborough House.
Oh, Gladys, you're a wonderful friend to me.
I should hate to see you the victim of an injustice, my dear. Did you get the certificate from Dr. Seaman?
Yes, it's here.
Take it along with you and make sure you explain the whole thing carefully. Your whole future may depend on this interview.
Good afternoon, madam. You have something to tell me?
Yes, sir. I'm terribly, terribly unhappy.
Oh? Why?
Your Royal Highness cut me the other night at Lady de Grey's reception.
Did I?
In what way have I offended Your Royal Highness?
Why didn't you sing at Buckingham Palace?
I was ill, sir.
Are you quite sure you were ill?
Would Your Royal Highness be good enough to read this?
What is it?
A certificate from my doctor, proving that what I say is true.
I don't want to read that. Tell me what happened.
On the very morning of the day I was to sing at the palace, sir, I was taken suddenly ill. I called in a doctor, and he diagnosed the complaint as acute laryngitis.
The names these fellows invent.
He forbade me to sing that night, sir, forbade me absolutely. I was greatly distressed, but he was adamant. He said that neither the Queen nor Your Royal Highness would expect me to jeopardize my entire future.
I heard that you were on the Thames that night. Was that report untrue?
Quite untrue, sir. Oh, surely, sir, you couldn't imagine my doing such a thing, having had the honor to be asked to sing at the palace.
I did find it hard to believe. And now I refuse to believe it at all.
Oh, sir, oh, you make me very happy.
Yeah, we've had a little misunderstanding, and we've talked it over, as old friends should. Oh. Now we've made it up, we're going to be great friends again.
Hmm? But, sir, everyone believes that I'm in disgrace.
We shall soon change that idea. And what is your next social engagement?
Why, I'm to sing at Mrs. Ogden Gurlitt's house tomorrow night, sir.
Do you think Mrs. Ogden Gurlitt would allow me to be present?
Oh, sir, she'd be overwhelmed.
I've no wish to overwhelm the lady, but I shall make a point of being there.
His Royal Highness promised definitely that he'd come, Nelly.
Yes, Gladys. He said he'd make a special point of being here.
Then he'll come. The Prince always keeps his word, even about the most unimportant things.
This is... And to Mrs. Ogden Gurlitt. Look at her watching the door.
His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales.
Gladys! Didn't I tell you he'd keep his word?
Your Royal Highness.
No ceremony, I beg. And my apologies for being late, Mrs. Gurlitt.
Oh, sir. It was so good of you to honor my poor house.
Madam, I can assure you...
Poor house, she says. And it's worth a fortune.
Gladys, be quiet.
Ah, there is a lady I am particularly glad to see. Madam Melba. Are you quite well again, madam?
Yes, thank you, sir.
My friends, madam and I recently had a little misunderstanding. But I want you all to know that we are once again the best of friends. Oh. Madam Elba, will you sing for us, please?
I'll be most happy to do so, Your Royal Highness.
Go on, then. Get your orchestra ready, and I'll sit here with Gladys and applaud.
Excuse me, sir.
His Royal Highness has asked me to sing. Is the orchestra ready?
Here you are, sir. There's plenty of room.
Thank you, Gladys.
Quiet, please.
Your Royal Highness, ladies and gentlemen, I will sing Sir Sarum Rose.
Delightful. Your voice is better than ever, madam.
If it pleases your Royal Highness, I'm more than happy.
When are you making your next appearance at Covent Garden?
Tomorrow night, sir, in Faust. if the place isn't burnt down.
What's all this?
There have been rumors, sir, that some maniac intends to set fire to the opera house.
You're not afraid, madam?
No, sir. Of course I'm not afraid.
Aren't you scared by all these rumors, madam?
No, Rosie, of course not.
But suppose the place caught on fire while you were singing?
In that case, I suppose I'd have to stop singing.
Ain't you got no nerves at all?
Oh, yes. But I never worry about unimportant things.
Unimportant things? Fires? Cool. I'll be glad when I hear that final trio, believe me.
Then leave her, or it may do shame. If it pleases you to stay, I miss the ball again.
Who is there? Who is there? Does the sea play with a shadow? In an eye like a coal of fire. What does he hear?
The horse is panting in the courtyard below to bear us away. Come, let's stay. What can we hold at the dark?
Away, away, away,
The vague threats have turned into grim reality. Covent Garden is on fire. We learn how the Australian prima donna faced this emergency in the next chapter of The Melba Story. The Melba Story was written by John Ormiston Reed and produced by Dorothy Crawford. The Australian Symphony Orchestra was conducted by Hector Crawford. The role of Melba was spoken by Patricia Kennedy and sung by the Australian coloratura soprano, Glenda Raymond.